ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Monday, March 4th, 2019. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins. As always, MLS is back. We had an entire weekend of Major League Soccer games. I've watched a lot of soccer this weekend, and here I am. How you doing, Dwayne?
I'm doing well. Less than an hour ago, Toronto FC made the Pozuelo signing official, and I literally had nothing to say when it happened. I went to make a joke, and I was like, I'm done. I've said it all.
Pozuelo officially joins Toronto FC. We'll have plenty of time to talk more about this signing in the next few days, and we literally talked to death about it already. So Pozuelo is coming, but I guess Toronto doesn't even need a savior, right? Right? Michael Bradley, Golden Boot 2019?
Currently Toronto FC only one goal behind the Seattle Sounders for the Sports Shield lead, so there you go. We might as well transition, segue, pivot into this right now. Did you see that one coming? 3-1? It was a pretty impressive See, they look like a team that was angry. That's what they look like out there, and good for them to get it done to start the season.
I did not see it coming. No, I'm going to be honest about it. I was not expecting this performance by TFC, but I think I was not expecting that performance by Philadelphia. I think that's where I see where things changed in my mind. I saw Gattis was on my Gattis Trusty and Andre Blake were on my fantasy team this weekend because I had a feeling Toronto would have trouble finding the back of the net. What a brace by Michael Bradley, which he hadn't scored since 2016. So it's not like we were expecting that brace. But no, Toronto FC in the opening game of the weekend on Saturday at noon made a great performance in Philly and got the first win of the season on the road. Was actually decently surprised by how Toronto did not look good, but they were able to finish their chances. They were able to get out of that slump, or at least the beginning of the negativity surrounding the club in the offseason, the transfers, the loss in the Champions League. There was a lot of negativity brewing. And with that victory, that narrative does change.
No, for sure. I mean, look, it's a road game. So I beg the difference. They didn't look good. I think that they were perfectly fine for a road game. You've got to go down and win them. Every bonus point you get there is going to be valuable down the line. It was a team that desperately needed that. It desperately needed it for market confidence, among other things. It's, I think, fortunate that they, you know, we talked about Pozuelo off the top, and to be serious about that for a minute, that's a very vital and important component to this team. So for them to get 3 points, you know, before this team is fully formed is massive. Them 3 points against a team that we all think that they'll probably be competing with in about the middle of the table in the Eastern Conference for playoff position. So that was a very big win. And Michael Bradley, you know, look, his last goal was in, well, I think you probably remember his last goal. And I, for politeness to Montreal fans, I won't mention when his last goal before last goal was.
It was in 2016 Eastern Conference Finals in Montreal.
Yeah, right in front of us. I'll tell you what, when that goal went in, Michael Bradley's goal scored in Montreal, I literally was lifted off the ground by the surge of the crowd at the Big O, but I'll be well enough alone there if that's a long time ago now, which is the point. It was a long time ago for him to get two in one game. It was what? Where? How?
Yeah, and, we're not expecting that. It is important for Toronto FC for sure, and the Josien signing. So with this performance, Toronto can move on, focus on Major League Soccer and the Canadian Championship coming in a few months. So for Toronto FC, it's a positive result. 3-1 Toronto in the first game of the regular season in 2019. We'll do the Canadian review, and then we'll move on to the regular review, the story of the week, week one review. We'll look at all the games. As you can see on the screens, you can see the scores too. But Orlando 3, Toronto 3, Philadelphia 1. It was in Chester, in Pennsylvania, at the Talon Energy Stadium, which looks great, but don't venture too far away from the stadium. It could be dangerous. Orlando City FC versus NYC FC, the battle of the 2015 expansion brothers. Dwayne, Orlando came back and actually tied it 2-2. So is Orlando better than we thought, or NYCFC maybe a bit worse than we thought?
Yes.
It's a both of those options.
Yeah, look, I mean, Orlando gets a draw, so that's you know, they're at the point of their evolution where a draw is something to celebrate. I guess Columbus fans used to make fun of TFC back in the day. They'd say a draw was a TFC win. They'd put in quotations a TFC win. So I think almost a draw at this point is an Orlando win. So there you go. But no, I don't really think that highly of NYCFC. If you listen to the preview show, you'll know where I put them. They're not a playoff team in my mind. And Orlando, of course, I picked for the bottom of the barrel. So it was, I don't know what much to say about this. They were two bad teams playing each other, and a draw probably was the right result. We'll see which of these two evolve into something more. My money would be on NYCFC because I've watched Orlando for the last 5-6 years.
Yeah, yeah. When you watch Orlando the last couple of years, you don't have that much of expectations towards Orlando, and that's fair. And, you know, I said we're going to talk about the Canadian teams, and then I segue right into Orlando. I'm going to actually do what I say I'm going to do now. Vancouver, Minnesota at BC Place on Saturday. Yeah, Vancouver started off the game well. Godoy with a great goal. It was a great play, a build-up, a nice service with the outside of his right foot. He made it past the keeper, 1-0 Vancouver. But Minnesota did something Minnesota's not used to. That's winning a game on the road. Their entire history, I think you can count it on one hand, if not just a few fingers, the amount of wins they have on the road. Not only that, their first game of the season, and they get a win. Minnesota tracking to win the MLS Cup after week one. Well, Dwayne is there somewhere, probably on mute, but Vancouver 2, Minnesota 3. For me, it's interesting. Do I know Minnesota getting the win at BC Place and looking good with it? It was fascinating.
Yeah, no, I think the story for me is Vancouver's. They didn't look great at the back. Kerpoke started. That's good. I was happy to see that. But there's still some problems. It's work in progress is what I would call the Whitecaps. Although they did create a little in that game, as you would expect, and hope in a home opener. So I think there is something to build on. But you know, when you make that many changes, we've been making the joke all offseason that they're another expansion team, but kind of showed. There's just no familiarity there. There's no, you know, say stop. Defense is partly a team concept, right? And when you're not familiar, you don't know how to cover each other instinctively the way that more established teams do. And I think that that's going to be a problem with the Whitecaps. And to allow three on the road, sorry, at home, to allow a road team to score 3 goals is what I was trying to say. That's a problem, and I think that that's what they're going to have to address. I thought that Vancouver attacked fine. That was that ball in for their goal was a great play in. We'll get to the best pass I've seen in a long time in the Montreal game in a minute, but nonetheless, it's just a work in progress is what I will summarize it with.
Well, let's move to Montreal before we continue and look at the rest of the results in week one. Montreal, wow, what a performance on the road. They go down 1 goal early in the game. Nice shot by the San Jose player, of course, and it's 1-0. Was it Godoy? I watched so much soccer, the names escape me. But the name that won't escape me is Nacho Piatti, scoring his first of the season. A nice little goal. To tie it up, 1-1. And then the pass. One of the best passes I've ever seen in Major League Soccer and in the Montreal Impact circles. Zakaria Diallo, Dwayne, the player that was bought last offseason. And then after just a few days of training, after coming back from Florida and training at the Big O, he ruptures his right Achilles tendon. And he misses the entire season for the Montreal Impact. So much so, Dwayne, that last year when I was with my press pass and I'm getting into the press box and out and trying to go to an area that was secured, Diallo was behind me and he was trying to follow me. And the security guard was like, "Who are you, sir? Where's your badge? You're not going in." And I had to tell the security guard, "Sir, that's a Montreal Impact player. That's why he's 6'7" and that's why he's going to walk in with me and you're not going to do anything. And Diallo walked behind me, tapped me on the shoulder like, merci, merci, you know. So that man, Zakaria Diallo, saw the space that was left open by the way that San Jose was playing defense. In the midfield, they were playing very man, a man-to-man defense, and that created a lot of pockets of space. Diallo saw it, so he went for it. As a center back, he's there going on an adventure, just like Frodo, going to the second half of the third half, and then he's in the attacking zone, and then he hears Saphir Taider yell, ah, me, I'm open. In French, probably, je suis ouvert. Hey, mon pote, passe-moi la balle. And then the most perfect pass I've seen in forever. Perfect weight, the perfect curl. It goes around three defenders, lands just in front of Taider, who just taps it in for the game-winning goal for Montreal.
No, no, it was a beautiful, beautiful pass. I literally said that pass, though, when I saw it out loud, which is embarrassing because I'm trying too hard. But nonetheless, that's what I said when I saw it. It was a brilliant play. It was a football purist play to watch. I mean, we all like the volleys and, you know, Cincinnati's first ever goal. And one day a team will start the season worse than Toronto FC in 2007 to start the career. One day it will happen. So the count's off already. But that goal by Cincinnati is, you know, if you score first ever goal, you must have scored like that. But that, to me, the Montreal play, that pass by Diallo in was the play of the weekend for me in Major League Soccer. It was beautiful. It was perfect. And look, it's not like the San Jose Earthquakes aren't great. We understand this. But it's still a road game. It's still a flight across the country. It's still a lot of challenges in Major League Soccer. Major League Soccer has, of all the major leagues in the world, if you think Major League Soccer is major, the top 20 leagues in the world anyway, it has the highest home advantage because of the travel. It does. It's something like 0.8 goals a game or something is the advantage. It's outrageous. Like the Premier League's like 0.4. So it's almost twice the home advantage. If it's the Impact to go in and to perform like that and to get 3 points, that's massive for them. And I'm still, you know, I can't say this out loud too loud because I'm in Toronto, but I'm still pretty high on the Impact. And that debut, that goal, that performance made me even more so.
And, you know, it wasn't just Diallo. It wasn't just Piatti. And it wasn't the way Montreal played. It wasn't a perfect game for Montreal by all means. But, you know, it was a performance that was complete for 90 minutes. The last 15 minutes were a bit shaky, where Montreal was absorbing a lot but never giving that clear-cut opportunity to any players from San Jose. So they have that chance there. And there's a few other things that we can take out of this game. And Maxi Urruti, even if he doesn't score, he's going to be huge for Montreal. And we've talked about the system of Rémi Garde, and there was an interesting tweet by Matt Doyle on the weekend, on Saturday, where an armchair analyst of MajorLeagueSoccer.com, Matt Doyle was saying that, you know, a lot of teams came into week one trying to play beautiful soccer, trying to play just very fun to watch and offensive and all flair and all the passive tiki-taka, whatever type of soccer. Montreal doesn't give a damn. Rémi Garde's like, you know what? That was on Matt Doyle's tweet. Unapologetic about not playing in a beautiful way, but playing in the way that gives this team the most amount of probability of a win. And that's what they did. And when you have a player like Maxi Urruti, and this is the words of Rémi Gardouin, I don't know if he has three lungs or two lungs, but he's got two hearts because he ran all over the pitch from 6 yard box to 6 yard box all game long, and he gave Montreal a performance of a striker that does fit into the system of Rémi Garde, where the striker is an important part, but defensively as well. He's the first line of defense. He's the first one who can put pressure on the ball carrier. He's the first one who can stop a transition in the midfield. So Urruti showing why Rémi Garde gave him the confidence, and we've seen a great type of performance from him. And of course, this team is always going to go as far as Nacho Piatti decides they do.
Oh, Piatti's brilliant, you know, and it was a great start. I made him the captain of my fantasy team. I haven't checked to see what my fantasy points are. They're probably not very good, but I got some out of him.
Yeah, you got 18 out of him, which I did too, because he's a captain.
There you go. So that's important too. You can still can you still join our league? I'm not even sure, but you probably could.
Yeah, you can. And we have over 130 people now, so a lot more than I anticipated. One of the big leagues we have in the actual entire league now, entire fantasy. So thanks to everyone who joined, and you can always join our fantasy league. Just look for the link in the description of this podcast, or just go to sportspodcastnetwork.com. You'll find the tab, just click it, and you can find the link.
Yeah, and you got a signed ball and a signed jersey from the Orlando City, the team that we talk about so much and so glowingly on the show.
And the ball is so signed by Nacho Piatti and the Montreal Impact, of a few players from last year and the year before. So good prizes. And Nacho Piatti, that's a topical one, too.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Anyway, so it's fun. But I'll check that out after I'm done. No, I think that the Impact are sneaky good. I really do. And I think that it was a good weekend overall for all of the Canadian teams, because even though the Whitecaps lost, and I think it's going to be a long season in Vancouverland. I just looked at someone compiled every major prediction of Major League Soccer, and the Whitecaps were the second lowest pick across the board. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a long season. It's hard to rebuild. That's why. Like, you can't have that much turnover and expect it to instantly work. It's a big – and I love Mark DeSantos. Everyone who listens to this show knows that we both are big MDS fans on the show. But it's a different level, and it's going to take some time. And I just hope Whitecaps fans have the patience for them. But on the up note, they did look great out there. Those jerseys are hot.
Oh, yeah. Those jerseys are the nicest white jerseys in Major League Soccer right now, for sure. And are maybe the reason why all the other ones are cookie-cutter jerseys, because they had to break those molds at least once for those hoops jersey for Vancouver. But no, that was fascinating. Now, let's move on to the rest of the weekend, the rest of the games. Columbus, New York Red Bulls, 1-1. Dwayne, I was surprised, but both teams looked the way they are who we thought they were. Two teams that will battle for the top of the Eastern Conference, 1-1 against each other to start the season. I guess it's a fair result for both teams.
Yeah, look, I think they're both good teams, and they're both going to be near the top of the table all year. So a 1-1 draw is an appropriate result, as you say. I mean, it's early. It's so weird early season in Major League Soccer. If you like to gamble, folks, throw money on underdogs early on the MLS season. That's because true. There's good odds out there.
If you put money on Toronto, you would have made money, huh, Dwayne?
Yeah, I did. So there you go.
That's why I'm saying this. All right, FC Dallas, New England. Two teams that are similar in a way. Maybe Dallas will trend a little bit higher than New England will in the standings, for sure, in the West, and New England in the East. But FC Dallas won. New England won. Let's not forget, FC Dallas, over the last 2 years now, there's been a lot of turnovers. All the big names we expect from Dallas are pretty much moved on, the new head coach. We'll see if FC Dallas continues, but 1-1 against the Revs. If I'm a Dallas fan, I'm disappointed.
No, well, yeah, for sure. You got to protect those 3 points at home, right? So you're going to be disappointed there. But if you were a Dallas fan, you'd be one of what, 1,000? In fairness to them, they don't really play in Dallas. So there's a lot of problems.
Frisco.
Yeah, it's challenges in that market for sure. But look, I don't know what to make of New England. I don't think I learned anything from this game. It's a good road point, I guess, but they're just going to be that all year. And this, I don't think Dallas is very good either. So that was, it's just a Major League Soccer game. Happened to be the first game of the year. MLS first kick, pew, 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 roar. So there we go.
Let's move on to Colorado-Portland, a red card to Colorado, but still they came from behind and tied it up in the 2019 version of the Snow Classico at Dick's Sporting Goods. I can't wait to see the day where we see this in Montreal, but I want to have a snowball fight in a soccer stadium at least once in my life. If I was in Colorado this weekend, it would have happened. Colorado-Portland, 3-3, we saw an orange ball. Pierre, I hope you're happy, Peter. You saw your orange ball on Saturday, Colorado 3, Portland 3. I guess a entertaining game, and that's where we were all surprised. Like, wow, Colorado, Portland, and this game was fun to watch, never mind the weather.
No, for sure. I am with the orange ball. I still love the fact, the greatest trivia question ever, is that the coldest game in recorded history involving two top-flight teams happened involving a Canadian team, but it wasn't in Canada. It was in Colorado last year. So, yeah, the snow was fun, but... yeah, it's surprising. The Rapids, maybe they're okay. Maybe. I don't know.
Well, all the changes they have made, the Costa move and And there's more. There's actually decent moves that Colorado did do this offseason. And I think they're going to be better than people think they are. And I think they might battle for a playoff spot. But that's as far as I'm willing to go in my prediction for Colorado, having them seen played once. But it is a surprising result. At least they came back from behind. They got the tying goal. 3-3 is, hey, if you're Colorado, take that result and you're happy with it, because Portland's a good team. Portland's in the top three in the Western Conference on almost all the predictions out there. And if you're Colorado, you're out of the playoffs in most of the predictions. So you got to prove your worth. And I think with this result, maybe Colorado did do some great moves in the offseason, but it's such a small sample size one game. We'll have to see next week.
No, for sure. I mean, look, you can't, you know, draw any major conclusions from the first week in any league anywhere in the world. But we're going to try. That's what we're here. That's why you're listening. So Colorado Rapids, Sports Shield favorites.
Yes. Maybe Seattle might have something to do with that, but we'll get there very, very quickly. That's going to be fun to talk about the FCC.
Houston, and they play them every week.
Yeah. Houston Dynamo 1, Real Salt Lake 1. 1-1 game. Another red card. Houston got a red card there. But outside of that, 1-1 result, I guess a good way to start the season slowly for both teams. RSL, I still have a feeling they're better than people anticipate. And RSL means Brian Dunseth on the call usually. And it was his birthday this weekend, so happy birthday, Brian.
Friend of the show. Thanks. Happy birthday, Brian. No, you really want me to talk about RSL?
No, not really. I don't particularly.
Yep. Let's break that 1-1 draw down in detail.
Ibrahimovic with the game winner versus Chicago. LA Galaxy 2, the Chicago Fire 1 at the... Nope. Not Home Depot Center, Dwayne. Nope. Oh, nope. It's not the StubHub Center anymore, too. It's the Dignity Health Sports Complex.
That's okay. I didn't know that. There you go. Corporate branding for the win. Dignity. You know, there's not much dignified about the LA Galaxy in many ways.
Here's the big news. We were off the air Friday when this dropped. It was Friday night. The Galaxy bought the rest of the contract of Giovanni Dos Santos, which is no more an LA Galaxy player. And they don't have 4 DPs anymore. So I guess they decided to bye-bye Gio.
I think they just probably assume they get away with it because they have forever. I mean, look, I'm not a conspiracy theory guy out there, but you can't ignore the fact that the league has turned the other way on so much that the big clubs have done. That includes Toronto. They turned the other way for Toronto with some of the stuff that they did financially for a couple of years because they wanted that market to be successful. That's the league in a nutshell. So the fact that they actually enforce the rules here is surprising to me, but refreshing. It's good. It's
yeah.
You know, I don't like salary caps. I wish that teams could just spend what they want. I really do. But if you're going to have them, you got to enforce it equally. And you know, so good for the league. Good for the league for enforcing your own rules.
And you know, it sends a clear message for other teams too. And I think for the future, it sets a precedent too. That look, before we were lenient on our rules, but it's a new day. It's a new age. It's a new era. And now we're going to enforce it because the LA Galaxy, you ain't the, you're not our shining star anymore. LA Galaxy star shining. Anyway, you're not the shining star anymore. There's other great teams in this league and you're not compliant. You're not compliant. We're going to have to put a heavy fine on you if you don't become roster compliant right now, the day after Gio gets bought up. So it makes sense. Now, the last game on Saturday that we haven't talked about yet, the Seattle Sounders versus FC Cincinnati. FC Cincinnati's first game in Major League Soccer, traveling to Seattle at the CenturyLink Field. They're getting ready. They're battling the beginning of the game. And they got that rocket of a goal. It's 1-0 Cincinnati. The fans are happy. People in Cincinnati are cheering, throwing beers in the air. And then reality hit them in the face like a Mack truck.
Consistently score 25-yard first-touch volleys, they're going to be just fine. I don't know if they're going to be able to consistently do that since he's really bad. They were designed to defend, and they allowed 4 goals. This could be ugly. It's a broken record. Even like the only people that think that Cincinnati is building this team correctly are in Cincinnati and work for the club. Like no one thinks this team is built right, and that's a rough start. They got the goal, I guess. I made the joke off the top about, you know, Toronto FC's infamous 800 and 7 million minutes scoreless streak to start their season. I'm actually for 835. I forget. It's 800 and something at any rate.
Yeah, it's like nine games. It's nine games. Was it? Eight games? Seven games?
Well, they went over nine games. There's two streaks in that season. I was there for both of them. The first one was their streak to start the season. They scored in their fifth game in the 24th minute. Thus, my Twitter name.
Yes, that's Daddy Dicchio seat flying covers on BMO field goal.
Yes, that was their first ever goal. That was in their second home game, which was in May 4th, I believe. I have a seat cushion here somewhere. Actually, I have a seat cushion here. I would offer that as a prize for a fantasy league, but no, you're not buying that off. I did my cold dead hand. So yeah, they got the goal, so good. That's not going to be any pressure there, but that was an ugly result. I mean, they're going to have to figure some stuff out. My problem with Cincinnati isn't that I thought that they would be competitive this year in the sense that they have, built around the defense. They built around trying to be solid. That was their entire model, so they wouldn't be embarrassed. Well, good
that
start,
was a
guys.
Mistake. I thought that's what you're going to say. Like, that was a mistake. And a big one.
Yeah, look, I mean, so was Minnesota the way they built, but Minnesota. Here's what else. The hope I'll give you is this, Kevin, is that Minnesota the first month in March of 2 years ago, we were talking about them like they might allow 1,000 goals a year. And they did sort it a little bit. They were still pretty bad, but they weren't embarrassing the rest of the year after the first four games. So that's, if you're a Cincinnati fan listening, that's the hope you got to do with this. They can adjust on the fly.
Yeah, make sure you got Adrian Heath's number on speed dial, too. DC United, Atlanta United, the Battle of the Unis. That was interesting. DC United 2-0 win at home. And for me, you know what was fascinating there? Breck Shea playing for Atlanta and looking at the face of his teammates, looking at Breck like, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you... Lift the ball when you're crossing. What do you mean it didn't clear the first player? We were three guys in the box open, and you can't even cross the ball to us? Yeah, Breck Shea, in a nutshell, for Atlanta. That's going to be interesting this season.
They all okay down there. The Atlanta fans, Real Madrid doesn't lose, right? So, apparently Atlanta United's an MLS team that's you can beat sometimes. I think they're going to be just fine, but I'm sure that having listened to a lot of the preseason predictions out there, and I'm trying to be diplomatic about this, it was a bit absurd. It was like listening to I know what we sounded like in Toronto last year now, right? Like,
hey, so you know how I felt last year.
Yeah, come on, man. Like, hubris. A little hubris here, folks.
Humility, please. I'll take that meal with a side of humbleness.
Yeah, well, you learn and you move on. And then sometimes you do that for a year and then you beat Philadelphia 3-1 and you go, well, that's like winning MLS Cup again. So it's fine. No, Atlanta's going to be fine. But DC was a bit of a statement there for sure.
You want some cheese with your piece of humble pie? Yeah. LAFC versus Sporting.
Always cheese.
Always cheese with humble pie.
All
yeah,
the cheese,
pie?
Please.
Yeah. LAFC Sporting Kansas City was the last game this weekend. LAFC got the win 2-1 at home. Sporting Kansas City got a red card. Espinoza late, but still were defeated in their first game this season. LAFC, a good game at home, of course. LAFC is going to take every advantage they can with their home field. They're going to get more wins than not at home. It's how they'll travel and how they'll adapt to a new reality of the 2019 Major League Soccer season. Different players, there's different movement. But LAFC, good win to start the season, which makes a good beginning of the weekend. What's the one story you remember this morning out of everything we talked about?
Cincinnati, really, I think, or Jordan Morris, I guess, is the way to positively spin that. The Seattle-Cincinnati game, I think, told us a lot about both the Sounders and what FC Cincinnati is going to look like this year. And to me, that was if you're going to rewatch one game, I would rewatch that with an eye to detail, because I think that we learned a lot. And if Jordan Morris can continue to score, I mean, they're not going to be able to play an expansion team every week, but if he can score at a good rate, then the Sounders are, arguably back to where they were. I mean, the Sounders are arguably the best team in MLS over the last 5 years, right? Like, consistent across the board. I mean, the Red Bulls would be the debate. And I think that the 4-1 win against an expansion team, yes, but that was impressive to me. And if I'm a Sounders fan, I'm strutting around today, right?
You're strutting just like Ric Flair. Woo!
Yeah, strutting. Maybe you can go pick up some tickets for your new hockey team this far next year. I don't even know. But yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Fascinating. My story of the weekend was the Diallo pass, that assist, in the performance of the Montreal Impact in the week one so far. I think Montreal are a underrated team in 2019, at least for now. And people will realize really quickly that they do have a lot of qualities. And it's not just Piatti, but it's the entire group. It's the crew. It's the cast. The entire cast of the 2019 Montreal Impact roster will help grow. It was fun to see Mathieu Chouinard, the Canadian player who's young, who's growing, who's a future national team player in the making, seeing him get more minutes and do well in his minutes. And he was a revelation of the training camp of the Montreal Impact in 2019, even though he was a player already for the club since last year. Mathieu Chouinard is amazing, and we saw the volley he scored in preseason. But for me, it's the routine, the effort he puts into it, the Diallo assist. For me, the story of the weekend was the performance of the Montreal Impact. So that was the week one review for this weekend. And Dwayne, before we say goodbye, let's just look look quickly at our Fantasy League. By the way, you can join our Fantasy League. Over 130 people are in right now. I'm 58 after one weekend. But the number one of our Fantasy Week, his name is Mr. Clark Paws, Will You Save Us? The name of his team, 97 points in week one. We got Football Death Panel, Maltes, a Vancouver fan, second with 96 points. Inch Wide, Miles Deep, Norris, 95 points in third possession. I have to look at those names before I say them out loud because I don't think they're all safe for work. Joe Adrenaline, Jordan Kellman from Out West, number four in our Fantasy with 89 points. And to round out the top five of our Fantasy League this weekend, Palm Beach Fins, one O'Hone, 87 points. So that wraps up Fantasy, Dwayne. And I'm trying to find you. I'm trying to find you.
46 points. Am I last?
No, you're not last. But where are you with 46 points? That's let me see. 46 points will give you... I'm just trying to look for you quickly.
I know my overall rank is 12,582, but that's worldwide. So that's, there you go.
Yeah, and that's out of like 18,000 or something. Yeah. Dwayne is 105.
Oh, right.
105th out of 130 with his 46 points. Pozuelo Watch FC just in front, just behind Old Man Ricketts. And are you okay? Interesting. But yeah, I'm 52. Dwayne is 105th. And the top of our league so far this year after week number one, trending to win maybe in 30 weeks or more a jersey and a ball. Pause, Will You Save Us, Mr. Clark. Dwayne, did you enjoy? Are you happy that MLS is back?
Yeah. Yeah, I am. I'm also happy that Everton drew Liverpool. No,
of course you are. Of course. City.
I just tweeted out the Vince Carter with the "It's over, it's over." So that was my subtle little nod to that. But
it's over.
Yeah,
it's done.
Yeah,
the league is wrapped up. We'll talk about Man City more this week for sure. By the way, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Larame. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of the World of Football with a Soccer Perspective. You can find the live version of our show Monday to Friday, 11 a.m. on our Twitter page at Soccer Today SBN. Podcast available anywhere you get your podcast. And we'll be back tomorrow. But until then, as always, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.